the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Father.
Hi, Nicholas, over there on the other side.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I'm sorry.
I told Christina she was on her way down. I said, listen, start the show. Go ahead and start the show.
I said, well, what am I going to do? I don't know which buttons to press. Mess it up.
Anyway.
Make the system explode or something.
All right. You know, I was thinking that today is also, by the way, the feast of St. Aloysius Gonzaga. This is a very interesting story, and he wrote a letter to his mother. I want to share that. Hopefully we'll get to that in the hour as well. But, you know, the other day we were talking about immigration, the whole, Armin was here, and and it's, unfortunately, you know, it's this has been so sensationalized and politicized. It's a real problem, a real issue that has to be dealt with. It has to be resolved, you know. And, but as I mentioned the other day, that so many of the people are being used as pawns in the for political purposes,
sure,
and
for their
and
agendas,
all this,
yeah.
And just the sensationalism. So it's really true. You don't know these days when you read something whether this is truth or untruth. You have to be very you have to investigate. You know,
yes, you
and
have
then
to,
even that gets even more confused because you hear from this side, from that side, from here, from there. Even a lot of the pictures, a lot of the stories, you know, some of them were just untrue and some of them were from,
sure,
you know, this issue, this problem has been going on for a long time, detaining or separating the parents from the children. But again, I don't want to get back into that. It's,
sure,
it's just, I thank God the president signed an executive order to keep these families together.
Sure.
At the same time, he's insisting on zero tolerance, you know, so people who cross the border illegally have to go through a process whereby,
sure,
it can be determined whether or not they'll be permitted in or not.
Well, like everyone has gone through the process. Like the back then, I'm thinking of the immigrants back then.
Well, this is the thing I wanted to bring up today. I was thinking about, you know, because, you know, it's things have been sensationalized, things have been politicized, no doubt. As Americans, we are a compassionate people, generally speaking. I mean, I think this has been characteristic of our history. Certainly, as always, there's the dark side, but because we have a Judeo-Christian foundation, we have the means to correct our faults, our errors. As a church, you know, Jesus said, you know, you're going to have scandal. You're not going to avoid it. It's always going to be there. He also said, you know, in defense of the children, the innocent, anyone who leads the innocent astray, better than a millstone be put around their neck, they'd be thrown in the sea and drowned. So those are very, very, very strong, maybe the strongest words Jesus uses in Scripture in defense of the innocent, the young, children. And yet, the reality is, you know, we're a conflicted people, right? We're conflicted, and we're caught between. I was going to say we're caught between a rock and a hard place. That's not really where I want to go with that. I want to say, and I think I said it the other day, that there's light and darkness everywhere. It's within us. It's all around us. And we have to make a choice. Every day we have to choose whether we're going to lean into the light or whether we're going to, you know, wallow in the darkness. Whether we're going to, are we committed to good or are we under the dominion of evil? Are we under the dominion of God or the dominion of Satan? And when I say that, I mean not that people are possessed, but that Jesus said he is, Satan is the prince of this world, the father of lies, the prince of darkness. And so I guess the point is there's this conflict. It's a spiritual battle at the root of it all. It's a spiritual battle. And on one hand, because the Bible insists on this, Jesus certainly does, God is a God of law and order. He's also merciful and just, full of compassion, slow to anger. We have an obligation, a biblical obligation, to tend to the least of our people, to have concern and care for all people, you know, that all people are God's people. At the same time, a nation has an obligation to protect its borders. So it's right now, you know, because of faulty laws or decisions not to protect the border, now we're faced with a crisis, and it has to be resolved. And so this is, you know, we leave that in the hands of politicians, and certainly as Christians, as Catholics, we try to understand it and adhere to our faith, our principles, our values. We're not above the law, by no means. Mm-hmm. We are subjected to the law of the land. We have to be obedient, respectful. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you get the point. Sure. But I was thinking this morning, you know, for all the criticism, and there's a justifiable criticism, but it ultimately rests with the lawmakers of the land, and they're going to enforce the law or have no regard for the law, which results in, or the consequences would be, a chaos, confusion, anarchy. And this is maybe a little bit of what we're seeing right now. You know, it seems we're moving in that direction. So it has to be resolved. So, you know, it's something's got to be done, and this is why we have to pray for government, right? We have to pray for the government. We have to pray that whatever is done, whatever laws are enacted, they are for the common good and for the future well-being of our civilization. At the same time, and you know, I was reading an article on the Catholic vision of just immigration reform. So we're talking about a reform that's needed. But it points out the fact is, and we do this, I think, as a nation. I think we've, more than any nation, have, not with perfection. I mean, people are quick to point out the faults. Mm-hmm. But can you think of another nation that has assisted, has served, helped out nations throughout the world? I mean, we've rebuilt nations.
Sure.
But anyway, that's a whole other issue. It's just the point is, it's not so, everything is rather, it's not simplistic, it's rather complicated. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking about this immigration issue and thinking back to, I got two stories, these are true, two true stories. So, I mean, people think that it's bad now, or people want to throw rocks and, you know, because we have a responsibility and obligation to protect the border, that somehow we're unjust or lacking in compassion and mercy. I think that's just not the case. I think, on the other hand, we've gone, I don't want to say well beyond, but I think we have a sensitivity to peoples and want to do anything and everything we can to act in a compassionate, a merciful way. But anyway, but if you go back, when I went to visit my grandmother's family in Poland, I was the first of the family, and I think the only member of the family to have gone back. So my grandmother came to the United States, my grandparents, maybe around 1914 or 1915, 1916, I'm not sure exactly, around that time. They came to the United States and ended up in Chicago. This is a very big, huge Polish community here in Chicago. In fact, we built all these churches. The Polish people built all these churches. You see these beautiful churches along the expressway. But when I went back in 1980. I was the first to go back, and I wanted to find her family. And I did, you know. She was a little reluctant for some reason to give me the information. But, and I think for a reason, because sure. I think the impression I had is that, you know, when you come to America, the assumption is, you know, you're in the land of plenty, right? And so you come here, and what are they, you know, you've heard it said, the roads are paved with gold, and there's money falling from the trees and all that. And in fact, you know, my grandmother worked in the Palmolive building. She used to clean during the night. I think all the Polish women cleaned the downtown, you know, Chicago during the night. That's what I understand. But so they worked hard, and they had, and you know, they didn't have an easy life. But they took care of each other. They had faith, and you know. But anyway, and she had two children who couldn't speak nor hear. You know, she had five children. So, you know, you think about what that was. You know, raising, taking care of a family, and you get the point. The point is that there wasn't. You know, they weren't rich. They were by no means rich people. And of course, they took, from what I understand, they took immigrants, you know, other people from the same village or the same town, and they would all stay in the same building, take them in, like the Mexicans do that as well. I think all immigrant people do that, and get people started, you know. And they worked hard. They worked hard. And they did what they could to learn the language. I mean, they really did what they could to learn the language. But when I was in Poland, I went back to visit, or I went to study, actually, in 1980, to study in Kraków. And so I found out, I got the address of my grandmother's sisters, so they'd be my great-aunts. And I sought out I went looking for them. So I took a cab and had the address, and they were in these little, not even little towns, but they were poor people. They were farmers, and it was beautiful. I mean, when I got there, it was I couldn't speak Polish. They couldn't speak English, certainly, but somehow we communicated. And I remember the first time I got there, we got the cab pulled up into this this area out in the hills, you know, away from everything. And you know, they see the cab pull up, and you could tell everybody was, you know, like, what's this, you know?
So they
come out, you know, at first they're kind of at the house, you know, and the people are coming from here and there, and they're just looking from a distance. And because so when we got there, we came out, and the cab driver explained, you know, to them who I was and all that. And so the aunt went into the house, and she came out, and she had all these pictures of the family, you know, my family, you know, my aunts and uncles here in Chicago, and cousins and all that. It was interesting. And it was just beautiful. They killed they killed the fatted lamb, you know. It was actually chicken, and, you know, we had a great feast and all that. Nice. It was very, very, very beautiful. And then I went back again because they wanted to take me to the other family, which was in a different area.
Yeah.
But what I found out when I was there, it was amazing. And you know, the funny thing is, when you're with family, you just know it. You know, it was it was just amazing. But I tell you, they were so so pious, so holy. I could just feel it. I could perceive it. And you know, in their simple homes, they had these beautiful religious icons, pictures, and all that.
And they're so very they're loving and giving.
Absolutely, yeah.
They give what they have.
Yeah, they abandoned the room. They gave me a bed. Everybody else slept in one room, and they gave me a... it was just amazing. But the things, I couldn't tell them I was a seminarian. I couldn't tell them I was studying to be a priest. I was so humbled by their piety, I just couldn't bring myself to tell them that, you know? But what I did find out, and this is the point I wanted to make, is that my one aunt had a hand that was deformed. And because of that, she couldn't come to the United States.
Wow.
They wouldn't receive her with the deformity. I mean, so you talk about how strict the laws were. And so she never came to the United States. I didn't know that,
wow.
You know. But you get the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, we think things are hard today or that, you know, if we're trying to...
They're even comparing this whole thing, the situation with the children, with the concentration.
Which is absolutely, well, see, that's the that's where they're politicizing, sensationalism.
Yes.
And they're all trying to put it under Trump when this has been going on.
Sure.
And first of all, they're not, first of all, to even compare these places where these young people are being detained to concentration camps is a disgrace.
Yeah, of course.
It's a disgrace and lack of respect for those who actually lived in or died in concentration camps. I was looking at this because again the media really distorts and perverts things because again they sensationalize, they politicize, they have an agenda, and they're going to create a narrative, and it's a false narrative, you know. But the there is this initial process before they go into these places where they're detained, which are really quite nice. I mean, they're
feeding them; they're not torturing them.
No,
like they're in a concentration
camp. How did somebody do it? It's like being in a
country?
Not a country club, but like in a school dorm.
Because
they have games, they have meals. I mean,
good meals that are prepared.
They've got beds and all that. So those pictures where they're behind chain link fences, one of the border guards was saying they have to be able to see these people and see what's going on. And these are young people. And again, of the 12,000, 10,000 have come without parents, And there's a lot of trafficking. I was reading it, and again, the assumption is it's true, but again, you don't know.
You don't know.
What's real, what's fake.
Sure.
This idea of fake news is such a reality today, I tell you, it really is. But of the 12,000, 10,000 have come without parents. I heard this in a few places that 70%. It's estimated 70% of the young girls are raped in the process of this journey up through Mexico across the border. And then you've got the gangbangers. I mean, this is a fact. This is a reality. You know, you can't deny it. And so these people that are on the border, the border control, the officers down there, they've got to sift through all this. They've got to distinguish. They've got to verify, you know, who are these people? Where are they coming from? What is their, you know, all this. And in the process, a lot of these kids are being recruited into gangs like the MS-13, you know.
And even throughout all these years that people from Mexico have been coming in illegally, the women have been raped. Throughout this, it's not just now, but it's been happening in Mexico.
You know, and as we were talking last weekend, because I've worked with the people for 28 years, and heroic stories.
Stories, yes.
Sad stories, courageous heroism on the part of many.
Sure.
But I say there's a dark and a light, and we can't be naive about that side to all this. But the other story I want to tell, and we'll take a break, is one of the sisters, one of the Notre Dame sisters. When I first came here, we had the sisters in the convent. They taught at the school, but a lot of the sisters were older. They were retired, and I remember one of the sisters. She was telling me about her family came from Ireland, and they came on the boat. Her mother, she and her, well, the whole family. She had a sister who had Down syndrome. And they got all the way
Staten Island.
It's Staten Island, port of entry in
not Jersey.
Where the Statue of Liberty is. Is that actually the island where they have the port of entry? But anyway, the port of entry in New York.
Okay.
And because the child had Down syndrome, they had to send the child back to Ireland.
The child.
And so the mother remained here with her other children, but sent the other child back to her sister in Ireland and never saw her again. So you know what I'm saying when you think about the sacrifices, wrenching sacrifices that people have made in the past, even in the present. But the laws were very, very strict.
Sure.
And people, you know, I guess it was a matter of survival, you know, because things were so bad in Ireland, and this mother wanted to safeguard and protect her family, and they came and they worked hard to give their children this opportunity, just as the immigrants who come today. But anyway,
nowadays they would have said, "Oh, that's discrimination." And
well, it seems unjust. It certainly does.
Course, yeah.
In a sense, it certainly
is discrimination. But back then, they just did it.
People had a different, you know. You kind of, as I said, when I went to Italy, I remember. I mean, this is nothing compared to all that, but I just remember how difficult it was, how hard it was just to go for a year, just to be in Italy for a year. It took me forever, and I was scrutinized, and I was, I had to go through all kinds of...
What's happening to one hurdles. Of the priests, the one you talked to, one of the Vincentians, he's going to Germany, part of his program, he's in this program, and they're giving him a hard time to enter Germany. So it's everywhere. You know, you go into any other country, you're going to go through the process. And if you don't have all your documents, they're not going to let you in.
So the reality is, there are people. Well, anyway, we'll just kind of leave it at that.
Sure.
But it's not so simplistic. It's very complicated.
Sure.
And on one hand, law and order has to be respected. A nation has an obligation to protect its borders. At the same time, we do. This is the thing, I said, especially today compared to perhaps in the past, we're, I think, even super or hypersensitive to wanting to be compassionate and to be merciful and to do anything and everything we can to help or to assist the people. And I think even the church, when you think about it, the fact that, you know, I look at myself, you know, I have worked with immigrant people for so many years, learning the language, you know what I'm saying? I don't know that I could go to another country, and in another country, in a sense, the people, maybe even the church, would, in a sense, go out of its way to accommodate me as an American, you know, we're going to learn English, we're going to provide space for you to safeguard your culture, your, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah. You go to any country, what you just said is so true. You go to any other country, they expect you to learn their language because this is their country.
See, and Christina.
Oh, it's fine.
The thing is, and this is not by any way, by no means, it's not a criticism to the immigrants or even those who are trying to get into the country. if they're coming for the right reasons.
Sure.
But it's how our people, our politicians, the talking heads of the media, mm-hmm. have sensationalized, politicized the agenda they have to manipulate the minds and the hearts of the people in order to further their agenda. When, you know, and I've heard it said, and it's so true, you know, you're so concerned, all of a sudden concerned about keeping families together and concerned about the children, as we should be.
The children.
But at the same time, the hypocrisy.
Yes.
You know, these same people, these same people mm-hmm. insist that a woman has the right to kill the child that has been conceived in her womb. Up until the time that...
Until nine months, no?
I believe so, yeah.
Full term, yeah.
But you get the hypocrisy here.
Yeah,
or this, right. this just a little regard for family anyway,
mm-hmm.
you know? This is what bothers me. Mm-hmm. This kind of hypocrisy, this kind of deception, this kind of sensationalism, this politicizing, using the people, and demonizing those who are trying to fulfill their obligation to safeguard the laws of the land, to ensure law and order for the people of this nation. And then it calls into question as well, what's happening in these other countries,
mm-hmm.
you know? Where's their responsibility to care for these people as well? I mean, the people are fleeing something, right?
Yeah.
So where are the governments? Where, you know, the corruption down there is astounding.
Bad. Yes, it's
And it's sad to say that until we can begin to use right reason, we're falling into the same kind of corruption
mm-hmm.
in our own nation. And this is, and I say, and we'll take a break and we'll come back to this, but it's that we've, as we've deviated, as we've, now, when I say we, it's not just, there's a very interesting and very dangerous divide mm-hmm. in the country. Those who, I realized, and I went back and I was looking at this, I'm a hardcore conservative. I'm certainly not a right-wing radical,
uh-huh.
But I am a conservative. Mm-hmm. I believe we have to conserve proper tradition,
mm-hmm.
the values and the principles and the laws of the land, mm-hmm. Obedient to the laws of God. In that sense, I am a hardcore conservative. What I see the left, liberal left, doing, what's happening in this country, to me is deception, it's manipulation, it's sensationalism, it's politicizing to further an agenda that has no regard,
mm-hmm.
no regard for law and order, mm-hmm. or no regard for the very civilization that has really made this the great country that it is. And it mm-hmm. is a great country with all its flaws, with all its rough edges. And again, as I say, we have a means to correct what is wrong because we have a foundation, and that foundation is Judeo-Christian. Mm-hmm. You know, so Jesus Christ is our person of reference, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has revealed himself in Jesus. So this is our person of reference. And if we don't respect that, if we don't submit,
mm-hmm.
subject ourselves to the proper authority, which is the authority of God, then, as I think one of the founding fathers said, then we're not worthy of the Constitution or the Declaration, you know, we're not a people worthy of what God has given us, what God has blessed us
and
with.
And you've talked about respect. You know, here in this country, we have been spoiled. People don't see what other people have gone through or are going through in other countries. Of course, I'm not justifying what the corruption in the other countries, but over there in those countries, they would never dare disrespect the flag. They would never dare disrespect their president or whoever is in charge, it could be whoever it is, would never. They would be dead pretty much. And again, I'm not justifying that, but we've been so blessed. But then at the same time, people have been spoiled, and haven't really thought of how God has blessed this country, really, and take it for granted.
It's the bottom line is we'll take a break, come back and with this, but it's the distorting or perverting our right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. How do we now define life? How do we now define liberty? How do we now define happiness? It's become radically individualistic. Mm-hmm. And so it's about my rights, what I want, with little or no regard for you, you know, with little or no regard for the future. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony, and you're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, two blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing. Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know, stop or go, hot or cold, up or down, this way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststanschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation one way or the other.
Newsflash, this just in. Winds of Change podcast can now be heard on your iPhone and Android phone. Download the TuneIn Radio app and search Winds of Change, and Winds of Change will be right there for your very ears. We now return you to Winds of Change.
Oh, that's scary. What was that?
That was zap.
Scared me, yeah. So anyway, you know, and I'd asked these questions the other day, but I want to say it again. This is related. It's really... coming off this. I didn't expect that we were going to get into this again, but so be it. But so the question, and this is, I'm asking the question because I think today we've got a problem in the society. Mm-hmm. So the question is, do you feel, do you feel your way through life, or do you think your way through life? Do you live under the dominion of the mind or under the dominion of the heart? like leaves, you know, separated from the branch? Are you tossed here and there by every wind that blows, or are you attached to a tree, grounded and able to stand firm against the elements that seek to uproot? Mm-hmm. These are important questions, I think. Does it make sense when I'm asking the question? Because
yes.
I'm just more and more disturbed, deeply disturbed, really, by what's becoming of our society. If the leftist liberal agendas, or the radical right, but the radical right doesn't seem to be a threat to the society, I don't think at this point. The leftist liberal agenda, they continue to take the upper hand, and I don't know that they do, but I mean, they're certainly in the fight. There just seems to be a terrible and a dangerous disconnect between the head and the heart. So, as I mentioned earlier, the right reason, you know, that we're using our minds, right reason, seems today to yield to those ideas that, or things that, as St. Paul says, that kind of tickle the ear or manipulate the heart, and often to further an agenda that does not consider the common good, neither of the present nor of the future well-being of our civilization. And I know as a Catholic that if I'm not daily grounded in God, if I'm not daily discerning His will, I would be subjected to the powers and principalities. Again, that's a biblical term, powers and principalities, that would use me for nefarious purposes. So again, it's if we understand each of us that within us there is light and darkness, and where do we lean? And you can say, well, I'm not talking about. So when I speak about that, you know, I think the more we go into the darkness, which is very deceptive, because again, Satan is a deceiver, he's a liar, he is a seducer, he creates the illusion. But I was give you a little example. This is it would seem like a very minor thing, but it bothered me. So it tells me that my life is lived leaning in the dark, even as I wrestle with my inner darkness. So this is just a very minor example. So this morning I went for coffee. I don't always go for coffee, but I went for coffee. I wanted just to get out. It was dark. It was raining. You know, I kind of wanted to be out. You know, and I live where I work, so you know, it's just to get out, just for just to take the drive. I take it. I go right into the city, and I got the coffee, and I thought I would have something sweet today, right? So I normally don't eat sweets, so I saw this almond croissant. So I said, I get one of those. And they said, well, I don't know, do we have any more left? And the guy said, well, there's only two left. I said, well, I'll take two. I'll take two. give me two. Two, you know, heat them up. So I left, and then I went, you know, I take a long drive through the loop almost, you know, around the river, because I like this. It's just very nice, and people are coming to work. This is about 7 o'clock in the morning, and I get back, and I happen to walk in with my coffee and my two almond croissants, and Lupe happened to be here. She works. I didn't know she was going to be here in the morning. So, oh, I'm sorry. I said, if I'd known, I would have gotten you some coffee, but I had two almond croissants. And she said, well, I'm going to make my coffee over here. So I went to my room. And then I thought, well, I should have given her one of the almond croissants. But I didn't. I was selfish. You know what I'm saying?
We do that.
But I'm just saying that bothered me because I just...
No.
Do you get the point I'm saying?
Sure, yeah. And other people, most people nowadays, I know I go through the same thing. Other people, it doesn't even dawn on them. It's just like, okay, bye.
Right.
Don't even.
Yeah. I suspect, and so you figure it out, you know what I'm trying to say, but that's I consider that part of the darkness, selfishness,
that?
Or the concupiscence.
Concupiscence.
That's a form of concupiscence, because I wanted
our conscience.
Yeah.
houses.
This is my. I want two.
I got two because I have a taste.
I don't want to share this other croissant, you know. But anyway, and I didn't think of it in the moment. Uh-huh. I think it was just as I was leaving. I thought, well, I've got two. She's going to make her coffee. I've got two croissants. I should give her a croissant. I said, I want two.
There was a story of one of the saints that they shared that when they were in communication with the Lord, that the Lord said, well, you know, this, you know, there was this at one time that you gave this piece of bread, whatever. And they're like, well, what was the problem? I gave them the piece of bread. Yes, but you gave them what you didn't want.
Right, right.
You should have given them what the one you really liked.
Well, like Mother Teresa says, give until it hurts, you know.
Yes.
It would have hurt me. It would have hurt me to give that second croissant away. And by the way, I didn't eat it. I didn't eat it.
Oh, so it's still there?
It's still there. Yeah, if you want it, you can have it.
I'll take it. No, I'm just kidding.
I'll give it to Lupe. Lupe's still here, so I'll give it to Lupe. So I'll make restitution anyway. But that's a little example, you know, where
sure,
we have. But do we have a sensitivity to these things or not? You know, that's when the scripture says the just man sins seven times a day. And when Peter said, "Well, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times?" Peter thought, "Well, Jesus is going to pat me on the back and say, oh, Peter, you've learned so well." That's a biblical answer, seven times, because a just man sins seven times a day. But Jesus says, no, not seven, but 70 times a day. So, that's, you know. But anyway, mm-hmm. if you get the point, I hope you're,
sure,
you're
sure,
okay.
Sure.
So I'm saying as a Catholic, this is this is mm-hmm. part of this ongoing, you know, not that we're scrupulous about it, but it's just,
it's
you know,
things.
How am I living my life? How am I... treating you, I'm not asking you, Christina, because you can probably point out all kinds of flaws, but you know, get the point, you know, mm-hmm. that we are making an examination of our conscience.
Daily, yeah.
How am I witnessing the faith? How am I living my life? When I go before God, what do I take mm-hmm. before God? What am I doing? What am I not doing? You know? But the point, I think, is that when we're no longer rooted in God, we become pawns in the hands of those who need us to safeguard their power to dominate, to control us with no regard for our right mm-hmm. to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Without God, if God isn't the foundation, and therefore in the absence of right reason, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness become a perversion that enslaves us.
Yes.
And It's you see, this is the thing. God gave us the commandments. They were really imposed on us precisely to protect us from such perversion, an abnormality mm-hmm. that threatens to destroy the soul of our nation and therefore a threat to civilization. In other words, life, how do we define that? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Mm-hmm. Because those are founding principles mm-hmm. of our nation. But if it's my life, my liberty, and my happiness, and it stops there, then it's a perversion. It's not Christian. It's not Judeo-Christian. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And this is what we've slipped into, this kind of radical individualism where we may speak of life and liberty, freedom, and happiness as our rights, but they become a right to the extent that we understand that we are in communion with others. And I think the leftist liberal agenda views this from a perversion.
Mm-hmm.
It's about radical individualism, radical subjectivism, my feelings. This is not the mind and the heart are disconnected because they're not grounded in God. And this is the point, I think, you know, the mind, we have to use right reason.
Sure.
But certainly the mind and the heart, they have to be in dialogue the other. But unless the mind and the heart are grounded in God, mm-hmm. then in fact we become, you know, we're either feeling our way through life or thinking our way through life. There's this disconnect, and we're like leaves that are just being tossed here and there by every wind that blows.
Yeah.
And so this is where we become subjected to the manipulation that comes from those who have the upper hand and try to impose or to further their agenda with really no regard for, I would say, the common good or the future mm-hmm. of our civilization. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Talk about this. We'll take a break and we'll come back to this. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others. Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Hope you're still with me. I mean, this, but really, these are, you know, we have a problem. We've got a problem in our society, and we have to ask ourselves, you know, are we just feeling our way through life? Are we thinking our way, or are we just thinking our way through life? But if we're not grounded in God, either way, if we're doing one or the other, there's a disconnect.
Yes.
You know?
And it's all balance. God is a God of balance.
Yeah, I'm glad you
order.
Said that, because that's exactly what I was going to say.
The
next thing. No, I'm glad you said that. So that it tells me, you know, we're on the same page. Because asking that question, you know, are we under the dominion of the mind, under the dominion of the heart, one or the other? Mm-hmm. But if we're not rooted in God, one or the other would dominate, and we'd suffer an imbalance in life, making us then prey to confusion and chaos. And that's the state of our nation today. So many of our politicians, the talking heads of the media, so many have set out to distort and pervert truth for the sake of power and control and to further agendas that falsify our constitutional right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Agendas really that are opposed to God have infiltrated every institution of our nation. And we cannot be fooled by the lies. That's why we've got to be a discerning people. We've got to, in an intentional way, make sure that every day we're grounded in God. We cannot leave ourselves to be bullied into compromising our values and our principles, which are rooted in faith. And see, this is what's happened in the land. The redefinition of marriage, the legalization of abortion already for how many decades, you know, just outright disregard, really, for the family, for marriage, which are really the bedrock of society, you know. But it's also if life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, if not understood with the founding idea of our nation, become as they become self-serving, again, individual, radical individualism, subjectivism, all about feelings, my rights, hedonism, all about pleasure. What's lacking here is the call to biblical love, which is sacrificial, that not you first. Again, I think we talked about these the other day. God, neighbor, self. Love the Lord your God with your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's the great commandment. But in that order, God, neighbor, and self. God is our life. God is our life. God is our freedom. God is our joy. And God, this God, our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has revealed himself in Jesus, is a demanding God. He's a God of law and order, but he's merciful and just. And God is to be feared. That's the first, the beginning of wisdom, as the scripture says, is the fear of God. God is to be feared, meaning revered and adored with utmost respect. He's the giver of life, and he alone can bring life from death. The problem is he's no longer feared in our society, and that's a very, very dangerous thing. That means utmost respect for God. By the way, do you know who Chris Pratt is?
That name rings a bell.
He's an actor. I just heard this. I saw this. He spoke at the MTV Awards or something. And it was really quite inspiring. You know, he was speaking about, you know, the need to put God first in our lives. And he spoke about our lack of perfection and that God created us in such a way. But, and this was just the other day, the scripture, be perfect as your Father, or maybe it's upcoming for next week, but be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. It's really, you know, to be perfected. We cannot be, I can't make myself perfect. I need to, again, lean into the light. God is light. And let the Spirit, you know, begin or continue in this lifelong process of being purged and being transformed and being sanctified so that I or we grow into our true selves. And I think this is where the nation builds on this foundation, as we all, as you know, Jesus says, you know, the foolish and the wise. He said, the fools, they build on sand. The rain comes and the wind blows and the house falls. The wise build on rock. He's referring to himself, God. We build on God. He says, the rain's going to come, the wind's going to blow, but the house will not collapse. So we're going through a storm. We're not having a really big storm. And we've got to, at this time, be really grounded, be grounded in God so that we don't lose our capacity to reason in a right way, to let the mind and the heart, you know, enter into this dialogue, one with the other, but grounded in God so that basically what happens is that our minds and hearts are woven mystically into the mind and the heart of God to safeguard a proper understanding of life, freedom, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And again, without God, can you really be happy? Is there any real joy without God? Is there any real freedom without God? Is there any life without God? God is life. God is our freedom. God is our joy, right?
Right.
So, but this is the very dangerous thing that's happening in the society is that we've lost our fear for God. Mm-hmm. And the liberal leftist agenda, while it claims to be all for the people and, you know, no judgment, you do your thing, I do my thing, it really has little regard for the people, but all regard for the self, oneself. Does that, it seems to me.
Yes.
It seems to me. And what's, because when we separate from God, then we lose our sensitivity. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about, you know, this sensitivity I had because I was bothered by the fact that I took the two croissants. I didn't share that croissant.
Yeah.
With Lupe, and I feel I'm confessing my sin.
And that's why I said, Father, people nowadays, mostly, I don't want to generalize, it doesn't even cross their mind.
By the way, so that reminds me of a story Mother Teresa told. She gave, and she worked with the poorest of the poor.
Yeah.
All over the world, but this was a story that comes from India. And she said that, you know, the sisters were walking, she had a candy bar, and it was a poor child. You know, these are children who live in the street,
sure.
They're destitute, and she gave the candy bar to the child, and he took off. He told her thank you, and he took off. He went running, and he went around the corner and all that, and they thought it was kind of odd.
Mm-hmm.
But when they, as they continued the walk and they went around the corner, they saw that he was sharing this with his friends.
See.
You know?
Beautiful.
And here I am, a Roman Catholic priest, and I wanted... I went only for one croissant. I wasn't going to get anything, any kind of pastry, but I just, for some reason, I got there and I wanted to, get the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I succumbed to the temptation to the, not one,
the,
but two.
Two. And that's
almond
sharing.
Croissants. And then I hoard the two. But I couldn't eat the other one anyway, so I'll give it to Lupe.
Well,
I promise.
You still have a chance, Father.
I do.
To
redeem myself. But does this all make sense? I mean, it's
it does.
Because we have to safeguard ourselves, be somewhat astute to the kind of manipulation that's going on, sensationalism, politicizing everything to further an agenda that is moving us farther and farther away from our Judeo-Christian a foundation, which is about giving people the right to life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, but understood within the context of God, who has loved us into life, who has imposed upon us laws that need to be respected in order to safeguard the common good. And yes, I can't believe it. Lost track of time.
Sure.
All right, everybody. Hey, tomorrow, St. Aloysius Gonzaga. I promise. Don't let me forget, Christina.
Yes,
this is a beautiful letter that he wrote to his mother. All right, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow. Almighty God bless you. Thanks for being with us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
The winds have